Hello, everybody. This week's Parshas Pinchas. And the Parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu being told by Hashem that Pinchas is going to get a bris shalom, a covenant of peace. And the question is, what exactly does mean a covenant of peace? So the Hemek Dover, the Netziv, explains, what it means is that since Pinchas had to do a very violent act to kill Zimri, so unfortunately many times when a person has to do an act of violence, it changes a person, it turns them into a more violent person. So Pinchas is being given a promise, a covenant, that he will not change, he will not lose his peaceful nature of who he was before this, and he will stay peaceful because he did this act purely for the sake of getting rid of the Chil Hashem that Zimri is making. The Sipurno, however, and the Al-Sheikh and others, they say that this Bris Shalom is something else completely. They bring a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Bris Shalom means that Pinchas is being given eternal life. He's being given peace from the Malach HaMavos, from the Angel of Death. And this is as when Gemara tells us that Pinchas is Eliyahu, and Eliyahu, as you know, lives forever, and Pinchas is being granted the gift of immortality because of his act of killing Zimri. And the Al-Sheikh explains the reason why Pinchas is being given this gift of living forever, it's Mida Keneged Mida. It's tit for tat for what he did. Explains that because what happens is that as a person goes through life, naturally, being that a person has two components, he has his body and he has his soul, and they're really opposites. The body is very physical and the soul is completely spiritual. And therefore, says the Al-Sheikh, naturally, the soul wants to leave the body as much as it could. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly keeping it in the body. At a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, it can leave the body and it lets it leave. But if a person manages to get his body and soul to have shalom, to have peace, which means he makes the body a place where the soul wants to live, he's mizachich the chaymer, he purifies the body and he makes it holy, then the soul will be happy to live there. He says we find that other Marishan, before he sinned, the soul didn't want to leave the body. The person was supposed to live forever. And we find that Klal Yisrael, by Har Sinai, when they got to the level of the Marishan before the Chet, it was the same thing, they're supposed to live for forever. Only once the body becomes tainted does the soul want to leave and can't be at peace with the body and wants to leave. Pinchas did something very special. Klal Yisrael was at a point that they were becoming so tainted and so physical that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that they would have to die from Magefa. And until Pinchas went and made Shalom, he got rid of the evil that was in Klal Yisrael, got rid of Zimri and Kozbi, then Klal Yisrael was supposed to perish. But because Pinchas did what he did, he made Shalom between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the Guf and the Neshama, he made that peace, he allowed Klal Yisrael to exist and to continue. Says the Al-Sheikh, therefore Pinchas is being granted the gift of Shalom, his body and soul will be able to stay for forever. He can live on forever because he managed to purify Klal Yisrael and thereby himself to a point where there was real peace. And therefore there's no need to ever separate and they continue living forever. And says the Altar of Kelm that this teaches us that a person has to recognize that the more he's at peace with himself, the more he can manage to make this body a place where his neshama wants to be, the more connected he can be to his neshama and make it that it's all one unified being inside him. And the less he keeps chasing after different desires and things that he wants, which constantly tear him apart, because he's running this way, he's running that way, and he's never happy because his soul's not happy, the more a person can mitigate that and make himself more at peace and more connected to his neshama and make his body and soul one, the longer, happier, and healthier he will live and be. Later on in the Parsha, when the Parsha lists the different names of the different families in Klal Yisrael, it doesn't just list their names regularly, it adds a hey and a yud to the names like Hachanoichi, Hafalui. And Rashi explains the reason why we add this hey and yud is because the nations of the world were making fun of Klal Yisrael. They're saying that Klal Yisrael, you all claim that you're, you know, Jewish, you have pure lineage. Come on, any slave nation that's enslaved by a different nation is obviously going to be, you know, other genes mixed in into those. Please, so why are you claiming that you're pure? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he went and he put his name, the Hey and the Yud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on their family names to testify that their lineage is pure and there's no Egyptian blood mixed in to Klal Yisrael. But the Chiddush is a very interesting thing. The Chiddush says, how ultimately did HaKadosh Baruch Hu testify to this point? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu testify to the point that Klal Yisrael is pure? So, you know, the non-Jews don't really read the Torah so often. So where was the testimony? And he said a testimony was the way the Jews multiplied in Mitzrayim. We know the famous measures that Klal Yisrael had 6 children at a shot. They multiplied in a non-natural way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a population boom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never make a nes, says the Chidah, for a child born from Mitzrayim, from an illicit marriage. So from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a nes for Klal Yisrael, the very act of the nes was the testimony that this nation is pure and worthy of a miracle. But he says, that's why specifically the hey goes before the yud. Usually Hashem's name is spelled yud kei, yud with a hey afterwards. Here the hey goes before the yud. He says, because the Gemara tells us that how does the Shekhinah come down into a couple? Because the ish, the man, has the aleph yud shin, and the woman has the aleph shin hey, the isha. So the hey and the yud come together to the Isha and the Isha, and that creates a new child, and that's the Shekhinah coming down. Who was the ones who really kept the Amunah when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim? Who were the ones who really believed that they're going to get out and they have to keep having children? As you know, the Gemara tells us in Saita that it was the women. The women came and they convinced their husbands that no, we're going to get out of here, and they're the ones who pushed to have children in Mitzrayim, even though they were enslaved. Therefore, says the Chidah, the hate comes first in this case, because it was the women's chus that made Klal Yisrael have this nes of having this edus of Hashem on them and having all these children. And I heard that Rav Moshe Feinstein used this chidah once for a decision in halacha. It's interesting, there's a story once, there was a lady, unfortunately, who was very, very ill. She had a certain illness, and the doctor said that medically she cannot have children anymore. Her body's too weak, it can't. It's the reality. And yet, somehow, she managed to get pregnant. And after she became pregnant, the doctors were scared. They said, you know, who knows? Maybe this thing will be too much for you. And the doctors were scared that you should have your pregnancy. They wanted to abort the child. So the husband was a Ger Chassid. He went to the Ger Rebbe. And the Ger Rebbe told him, you have to speak to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Such a shyly, you have to speak to Rav Moshe Feinstein. I can't paskin him. So he called Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe told him that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, if your wife was in a place where the doctors felt she couldn't have a child, and yet her body somehow had a child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, she'd have a child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make nesim for nothing, and with Hashem, everything's going to be fine. And sure enough, the baby was born and everything was fine. Fascinating halakhic ruling based on this chidah. Obviously, you know, not something to do on your own, but definitely a chidah worth knowing. Later in the parsha, the Torah tells us of the different children of Yisachar, and one of them is Yosef. And Rashi asks that we don't find in Yisachar's children before, when we went out to Mitzrayim, such a son. So Rashi says, Yosef was really Yoiv, Yudvav Veis, and he got added a shin in his name. Now the question is, why did the shin come from? So the Chizkuni explains, and he says that there was a medrash that this son, Yoiv, he didn't have the ability to learn Torah, so he kept learning and trying, and it wasn't going in. So Yisachar took one of these shins, or sins, that's in his name. As we know, Yisachar is spelled with 2 sins. And he gave it to his son, Yoiv, and that's why he was able to learn. The Torah went in him, and that's how he changed. And that's why, says the Chizkuni, we never read the name Yisachar with 2 sins. We always read it Yisachar, because he gave away one of those shins to his son Yoiv. But Rav Gifter points out from this Chizkuni a very important thing. He says that a lot of times a person wants his child to grow, he wants his child to become bigger. And a lot of times it's not enough to just push your child and nudge your child and yell at your child. A lot of times you have to be willing to show your child that you're willing to give him a piece of yourself. You're willing to give him a piece of something that's dear to you and something that's important to you because you're willing to invest in him. When you invest in a child and you show him that he's that important to you, that can make a difference. And that's why Yisachar had to give a piece of himself, one of his shins, so to speak, and that's what made his son be able to turn around and become what he's supposed to be. I heard a story recently from a Pesach Kron. Someone called up and told him a story about his brother, Kalman Kron Zatzal, that there's a boy once who wasn't doing well in yeshivas. He got thrown out of yeshivas. He got thrown out of multiple yeshivas. And after bumming around at home for a while, his boy decided that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn. He figured he'd go to Eretz Yisrael, he'll do better. So he asked his father to send him to Eretz Yisrael. His father, unfortunately, didn't have a lot of money. And his father figured, okay, now he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. The next thing. His father's like, look, I don't know, I can't help you. You show me first that you can do something for real, and then I'll start sponsoring your tickets to Eretz Yisrael and start sending you other places. And fine, this boy, you know, his father wasn't going to help him, but he really wanted to go. And someone told him, Kalman Kron, Lakewood of Kalman Kron, he helps boys out who are going through a rough time, speak to him. So fine, this boy calls up Kalman Kron, says, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, my father doesn't want to pay for it, can you help me out with money to go to Eretz Yisrael, I want to go to yeshiva there. Kalman Kron says, look, you know, meet me, come to meet me, and I'll speak to you. He said, okay, great, can I come see you? He's like, yeah, come to me 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll come sit with you, and I'll talk to you. This boy figured there, Common Crone was testing him to see if he's really, you know, willing to put in some effort. So he doesn't care. He goes down there. He stays up 2 in the morning, and he goes to meet Rav Kalman Crone in his house. And he tells him the whole story. He wants to try. So Rav Kalman says, fine, I'll do it. I'll help you out. And he called up Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. Rav Kalman Crone knew him. And he got this boy into Mir Yeshiva. Fine, this boy gets into Mir Yeshiva. He comes to meet Rav Nosson Zvi. Rav Nosson Zvi tells him, you know, look, it doesn't sound like you've been learning for a long time. You have a big gap. I don't know if you're ready to jump into regular learning in Yeshiva. I'll set you up with a chavrusa. You'll do daf yemi, and let's see how you do. Good, so the boy comes, he's all into it, he's inspired, and he's learning, and he's trying, he's doing the daf, he's all excited, and he's learning in yeshiva. And after a couple weeks, sure enough, the excitement wanes, and the boy gets himself into some big trouble in the yeshiva. And the boy's freaked out. First of all, he's scared he's going to get kicked out of yeshiva, but second of all, he gets really scared that they're going to find out, and Common Crone's going to find out. And after spending all this money on him and putting all his connections for him, Common Crone's going to give it to him and get really mad at him. That, what do you do to me? And sure enough, he gets a phone call. It's a Common Crone. He picks up the phone, and he's talking to Rakaman, and he's sure he's going to get yelled at. He's freaking out. And Rakaman asks him a question. He says, I want to ask you a question. You know, how do you become a millionaire? So the boy says, I don't know. If I knew, I'd be a millionaire. Rakaman says, no, I'll tell you. I know. I spoke to a lot of people who've done it, and I know the secret. He's like, kids, what's the secret? The secret's like this. You go into stocks. You buy a stock. You pick a stock. You buy it when it's really low. You buy it low. Okay? So you buy low. So then you know what happens? He says, no, what happens? So sure enough, the stock starts to climb. It gets bigger and better and better and better. And everyone's all excited. But then, unfortunately, sometimes the stock begins to dip. So now this is the big difference. See, the people who don't know, what they do is they sell out. They panic. They sell out. But the people who know, they do is they hold on tight because they play the long game. They know the stock might dip, but they're putting in money and they're waiting for that stock to eventually pick itself back up in the long run. He said, I put a lot into you. And you're dipping right now. But I know that in the long run, you're going to come out and you're going to be fine. And I want you to know that. So don't freak out that you had a mess up. I believe in you. It's all going to be fine. And sure enough, said the boy, after hearing that, it gave him the push to pick himself back up and keep going, even though he had a mess up. That's an important lesson. A lot of times, the more we tell people and we show people, especially our children, how invested we are in them and how we're not giving up on them, a lot of times that can make the difference and that can really push them to become what they can become. Just want to end off with one last piece. There's a very interesting Emes Yaakov. The Pasuk tells us that the daughters of Tzofchar come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say that, you know, our father had no sons and therefore we should get the Yerusha. And Rashi says that you see that they knew the halakas, that if there would be a son, that the daughter wouldn't inherit in the place of a son. But the Sifri says a little further. The Sifri says that they said, we know that even if he had had a son and he had a daughter, that son had had a daughter, if he had a granddaughter from that son, we also wouldn't say anything. Which is really a reference to halacha brought in the Gemara Baal Basra. The Gemara refers to halacha called Mishmush, which is a very interesting halacha, which is that, let's say a man has a son and a daughter, and, you know, that son goes and gets married and has a child, has a daughter, and then that son, unfortunately, dies before his father. So halacha is when the grandfather dies, his Yerusha does not go to his own daughter, it goes to his granddaughter. And the Gemara says this halacha is called Mishmush, which means that, so to speak, it goes through the son to his daughter before going to the actual daughter, the aunt, so to speak, of the child. And the Gemara says that this halacha was actually a big source of debate amongst the Tzedukim and the Chacham. The Tzedukim said, it doesn't make any sense. You know, on one hand, the daughter is definitely closer to the person who died than the granddaughter. So how in the world could the daughter of the son... the granddaughter, go before the actual daughter of the guy? It doesn't make any sense. And the Chachamim had drashas and psukim that no, mishmash is a real thing, and that's what the Torah wants, that you go to the granddaughter. The Gemara says they fought back and forth about this, and eventually the Tzedukim gave in, and they agreed, and the Gemara says they made a big yomtiv on the day that they settled this dispute, this halacha, about mishmash. And Yaakov Kamenetsky asks the obvious question. And there's many, many things that Tzedukim fought with Chacham about. Why is this such an important thing? It seems like a very, you know, technical halachic shaila about Yerusha. Why did they make such a big yomtiv about this fight? And he explains that the root of this debate is not just a halacha in Yerusha. It's really based on a fundamental belief of Yiddishkeit, which is the reason why the granddaughter goes first is because we understand that the son, although he died, he's still very much around. We believe in the eternity of the soul of the nefesh of a yid staying around forever and ever. And therefore, although her father, the actual son of the person who's dying now, is no longer here, but he very much is here. He's very much alive, so to speak. His neshama's around. And therefore, the Yerusha goes to him, and he's the one who gives it to his daughter. And that's why she precedes her aunt, who's the daughter of the person being nifter, because her father is very much still around. The Tzedukim, in essence, were debating that very point. They didn't really believe in the eternity of the soul. They didn't believe in the fact that a person, once he's died, he's still very much going to be living forever and ever and only benefiting from the stuff that he did in this world. And therefore, they couldn't get their heads around this halakha of mishmash. But once a person truly believes that a person is in this world is only temporary, but a person is around for forever and ever, then the halakha of mishmash makes a lot of sense. And that's why the Yom Tov was made about this halakha, because it meant that Tzedukim kind of agreed to a certain level in the idea that a person, it has an eternal essence and an eternal point, and there's never, so to speak, that a person just lives in this world and it's over. We should all have an appreciation of that. We should all be zeich to understand that this world is just a prep, but we're all around for forever, and we have to work hard to make sure we have enough to keep us going for forever and do a lot of mitzvahs. We should all have a wonderful Shabbos.